Our Old Testament reading for this third Sunday in Lent comes from Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord. Gospel comes from John chapter 4. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week I started with John's vivid characters before we looked at Nicodemus's nighttime visit with Jesus. This week we have what might be the most vivid. The Samaritan woman meets Jesus at the well. It's a scene that I've often wanted to theater workshop in a few different ways, because I don't think any one form gets at everything that's going on. You could play this scene as a gritty drama form, with the woman having a hair trigger response to Jesus' request. Just who do you think you are, Jew? And Jesus raising the stakes with each interaction. If you knew what Jew you were talking to, you would have asked me. You could play it in the form of one of those uncomfortable train wrecks or cringe comedies. The questions asked and the offenses given build until you need a deus ex machina of the Messiah arriving to solve it and extract us all from the cringe. There are some other forms that I think it would be interesting to play with, but there's a definite form that in the Bible is given, and I think Jesus is playing. And he found someone sharp enough to help him redefine it, to remix it for spirit and truth. There are three well scenes in the Old Testament. Abraham sends his servant back to Haran to find a wife for Isaac. The servant concocts some fantastic test for the Lord to fulfill. If she not only gives me a drink when I ask, but waters the camels as well, that's Isaac's wife. And Rebecca does it. Of course, Rebecca is as likely trying to escape from her brother Laban, grasping whoever comes along. A generation later, after Rebecca has made her son Jacob persona non grata with her other son, Esau, she sends him to Laban. And Jacob meets Rachel, the Old Testament's great romantic interest at the well. He meets her at the well, setting off 14 years of heartache and toil. The last well scene is Moses, exhausted from his journey running after killing the Egyptian. Moses meets the seven daughters of Jethro at the well and takes a shine to Zipporah. The prophets find shelter at the well. Patriarchs meet matriarchs at the well. Bridegrooms meet brides at the well. And all of these are in play. It's Jacob's well. Jesus is exhausted, so tired he's sitting by the well. And his request is, give me a drink. But the Samaritan woman isn't going to play this straight. She's not at the well in the heat of the noonday sun to find yet another husband. She thinks she's shutting Jesus down. You are a Jew. What do you want to drink from me, a Samaritan? But Jesus didn't want to play it straight either. He's thirsting for something more. He's looking for a different bride. If you knew the gift of God and who it is talking, you would have asked him. He would have given you living water. The wedding master at Cana didn't know where the wine had come from. Nicodemus didn't know where the wind came from or where it went. The woman of Samaria didn't know the gift. But there's a difference here. That wedding master was happy just to have the new wine. Nicodemus was so stupefied by Jesus that he left stuttering, "How can these things be?" But this woman probes a little on each of her lacks, the gift and who. She asks, if this living water is the gift, where do you get it? This well is deep, and I don't see anything on you. And then she probes a little on Jesus. Are you greater than Jacob, who gave us this well? She's still thinking simply physically, so Jesus answers her back, drink of this water from this well, and you'll be thirsty again. But the water that I will give will become a spring welling up to eternal life. Jesus isn't just thirsty, but he's thirsty. He has the gift of God which he wants to give. And we should hear that friction in this relationship between them. She's not exactly sure what this is, but whatever it is, she says, give me this water so I don't have to come back here again. I think we've all been there. We don't know exactly what God is offering, but it's got to be better than where I'm at. But Jesus is thirsty. The gift isn't for anyone alone. Go call your husband. This is going to be a problem. I have no husband. Remember, if she sold on the gift of God, she still doesn't understand who is offering it. And that's what Jesus is pushing her on towards to help him with. You've spoken rightly, he says to her. You've had five, and the one you have now is not a husband. Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And right here is where most of the crowds following Jesus would stop. They'd recognize him as a prophet, but just a prophet. But this woman is thirsty, and the spring is welling up. She wants more, and Jesus wants to tell. Our fathers tell us to worship here. You, implying you Jews, say we do it in Jerusalem. I'm thirsty. Where? Where do we find God? Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither of these places, the hour is coming and it's now here, when true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The gift is that spirit, and the truth is that man. She says back to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He'll tell us all these things. I am he. They've been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus is thirsty. And what he is thirsty for is finding those that the Father is seeking to worship. That's why he has come, to find the sheep from all the various folds. He's thirsty to meet the bride, the church, his church. He's thirsty to grant her the gift of God, his Holy Spirit. He's thirsty for her to know the truth, the bridegroom. Jesus is thirsty that we come to know him in spirit and in truth. And he's given us the means, those means of grace to do this. He's given us his baptism, that water of life by which we enter into the church, the living water, that fount of the Spirit. He's given us his word, through which he gives us all that we need to do to spring up. And through those, he has made us into the living stones of the new temple. Not built here or built there, but built everywhere we go in spirit and in truth. That Samaritan woman, as a type of the church, is a pattern for all of us. And there are two things that I'd like to highlight about the Christian life in her story. The first is that in front of Jesus, we should never be scared of the truth. Even if that truth is embarrassing or troubling, the way of the cross is the way of truth. And everything that is hidden will be revealed. The Word of God confronts us with ourselves, and it never gives up on us. That gift of God, the Spirit that indwells in us, also sanctifies us. It bubbles us up to eternal life. And all of that starts with being in the truth, which means acknowledging where we are and acknowledging our lack. The second part is that acknowledging our lack, we don't turn away from God, but we turn towards God. The woman asks, where? As much as we might want to hide from God or to turn away or to run as far away like old Jonah, God knows and he loves us. That's why Jesus came. We're always turning towards God in our Christian lives. We're always returning to prayer and to where God has promised us his presence, where God has promised to fill that lack. Jesus thirsts. And it's a thirst that will last until we are finally in his presence. Jesus, giving us his own blood as true drink, said that he wouldn't drink of it again until the wedding feast. Jesus thirsts, but he's given to us his true drink, a foretaste of that feast to come. And that deepest well in this age, the place where we find the bride and the bridegroom meeting, right there, until he drinks again in the kingdom. Amen.